What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Always Loading Podcast. This is your host, Jeremy. If this is your first time joining us on this podcast, it is our belief on this podcast that there is nothing in this world that we cannot accomplish because someone in this world has already accomplished what we want to do. Someone is already out there with the same backstory. They had the same doubts. They had the same amount of followers. They had the same questions at one point, and then they were able to push through and persevere, and they looked like us. And sometimes their life was harder than us. Honestly, a lot of the people that are successful out there had really incredibly difficult lives. I even heard on the Joe Rogan show the other day, he was like, you know, we got a lot of problems with our kids in these really nice neighborhoods because we all grew up with messed up lives. Like, we all grew up with such hard lives, and now we're able to provide for our children, and we're seeing a lot of unhappiness in them. And it's kind of just, he was talking about just on the grand scale of people that grow up privileged. And I honestly believe that when we have a little bit more adversity at a young age, we actually have a bigger benefit and a bigger advantage than the rest because, number one, we understand that life is fleeting and we're only going to be here for a short time. We're not guaranteed absolutely anything, and we're going to make the most of it, and we're going to be grateful with the little things. You know, when you lose a family member, you know, like I did, or when you have things happen at a young age, you're going to really love and cherish some of just the normal moments, you know, even with family and friends. And then when the big things do happen, it's even better. But literally, we have no excuse. There's so many wonderful people in this world that are setting a trail and setting an example, and go find them. Go find them on YouTube. I'm doing segments on this podcast now. The first thing I'm going to do is talk about the joy story of the week, the best thing I saw. And then I'm going to talk about how to handle hate, how to better sell yourself later on, and then the challenge of the week that I have for you guys, which has to do with how to better sell yourself as well. First thing, the best thing I saw this week was from The Last Dance. It was such a great episode. I absolutely have enjoyed this. I don't know if you guys have been watching this, but it's the Michael Jordan podcast. It's about the 98 Bulls, and I can't believe it's so fascinating to see how involved Jerry Krause was, and it makes you wonder, like, would MJ have gotten 7 or 8 rings had they just kept the team together and it wasn't, you know, about Jerry? It's that's part, you know, been a little interesting to see. You know, I was pretty young. I was very young when that was all happening, so I didn't get to see a lot of it, or I don't remember a lot of it. But the best thing I saw was this quote, and Tim Grover, Michael Jordan's trainer, is being interviewed after MJ came back midway through the season in 95, and he came back wearing number 45, and you know, I've been playing baseball for 1.5 years and had been gone, and decided to come back. The dude came back in March of all times. Like, what other player could come back with literally like a month to go before playoffs? Like, that's so crazy. But when they lost to Orlando, I think they lost 4-2. He just didn't have the legs anymore. And Tim was like, "Hey, Mike, I got to get out of here. You know, just call me when we're meeting up." And he goes, "I'll see you tomorrow." And that quote alone hit me so hard because he goes, "If Michael knew that you were going to take 3 hours out of your day to watch him play, that you deserved his best every single time." And it's something I think about on all the time. You know, if we're, you know, there's so many people that want fame. They want to play basketball at the top levels. I have a lot of people hitting me up like, you know, how did you even get to the professional levels? And I may not have always been the most talented player, and I'm still working, I'm still developing. But the one thing I never took for granted was someone else's time. Even somebody that's watching me when I'm on Facebook Live, when I'm training, if someone's going to take time out of their day to watch me train, they deserve some sort of a show. They deserve, it's an entertainment business. You like, just because you can hit a few shots, like in open shots, you know, there's a lot of people that can do that. There's few people that can do that, make it look easy and be entertaining at the same time. And that's really what's changed my life. That's really what I think has allowed me to be a professional basketball player and get paid to do this. Is number one, I can mentor people. I am very good at developing youth, and that is very important when you're overseas. But the other thing is, I want to entertain. I will never take someone's time for granted. My teammates' time in practice, I will never take, you know, my brother's time if he comes and rebounds for me. Like, I respect everyone's time because it's the only thing. It's the only thing we can never get again. The only thing. Like, even if you think about it with, like, you know, Facebook or TikTok or Instagram posts that you make, like, you are making something that might be 40 seconds long, that person is never going to get that time back. So I don't know. I think it's something that we need to do more of, is just respect other people's times. And I think it'll help you be a better creator. I think it'll help you on the court. If you just think about the fact that, like, someone's paying thousands of dollars, if you're going to make it to the NBA level, someone's going to pay thousands of dollars to come watch you play. And are you going to be MJ and one of the stars that's putting on the show, or are you just going to be one of the guys that's getting carried and brought along? Because there's people that are really talented, but they're getting brought along in these games versus putting on a performance. So that's just the first thing I want to talk about. And the other thing I wanted to say, I guess, is that's been amazing is I really love how good is winning in this culture. There was a 13-year-old kid that was on the Gary Vee show. If you guys haven't watched Tea with Gary Vee, it was on the Thursday episode that was May 20th of 2020, depending on when you're hearing this podcast. But he was just a 13-year-old, and he said he was diagnosed with ADHD. And Gary goes, I probably have ADHD too, brother. Like, I just didn't grow up in an era where everyone labeled everything. And he's like, I empathize with it, of course. But he goes, just understand that that's a strength. Like, for you to have so much creativity and so much energy, if you can channel that, it's a huge strength. And I love what Gary was doing, number one. But number two, the kid goes, well, when I would have ADHD, it would come with a lot of anger and mood swings. And so when I was feeling really bad, I started downloading TikTok just for a joke and just because my brothers did. But I would scroll, and it just made me so happy, and it changed my mood. And so I wanted to start making videos to hopefully change other people's moods. And I was like, man, I really hope this kid wins, and I think he's going to. That's what Gary said too. Gary's like, kid, I'm going to tell you right now, like, you're going to win. And the reason is because you have such a good heart. And because the kid was like, well, how do I handle the hate? And Gary's like, you got to just feel bad for them. He's like, if someone's going to take the time to put something that's that, you know, hard or that mean on these comments, like, they don't like their own life. He goes, think about you. He goes, you love your life so much and you are so caring that if you were ever going to take the time to do something, it's going to be genuine and loving. He goes, it's just a reflection of who we are on the inside. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later on, but it's just been so nice to see that I think that good is going to win. I see people lifting each other up on TikTok, you know, if people have rough days. It's just nice. And so we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back, and we're going to talk about the rest of this podcast. All right, welcome back, guys, to the Always Loading Podcast. I may have lost the first part, so you guys might hear a different version. If you listen to it live, then you might have heard a different version, excuse me. Something I really want to go into is how to handle hate. And it's something that, you know, I've talked about that there's a lot of good that happens on the internet, and there's a lot of good that happens in the world, but there's obviously going to be, especially with the bigger audiences and the bigger, you know, posts that you have, some of them that go viral, some of them that don't, there's just going to be a lot of hate on them. And kind of like what just happened, like, I've only played the guitar for like 3 weeks, basically. And for me to do a live guitar sesh on TikTok is not too hard for me, no offense, because I don't really know anybody in real life. And so what I've kind of done is I've tried to build up these muscles of doing things that make me uncomfortable, and I've done them on TikTok. Honestly, it's the reason why I got it in the first place. I wanted to reinvent myself and bring back the best version of me, and the best version of me comes out when I'm not afraid to be who I am. I live in a world of athletics and of a lot of people that you got to be tough. Like, you really have to be tough to play professional basketball, and I am different. I'm just different. Like, I've always kind of grew up being a little bit more of a nerd. I love reading. I love challenging myself. I never was a big partier. You know, I love women, but they always just saw them as like a distraction for the most part. Like, I love to work, and I didn't really like socializing. I was so like nervous. I was so shy. Like, I feel like every time I said something, like, it didn't land. Like, the joke didn't land, and I wasn't the popular kid. And so I basically just eventually stopped talking. And a lot of that comes from when I was a little kid, but I don't think that there's necessarily a lot of hate that people receive. What I think that happens is that you received hate at one point, and then you just kind of shy away from it. And so I don't think that it's necessarily someone coming up to you. Like, people aren't going to walk up to you and directly be like, hey, you can't make it. Like, you're not good enough. It's just not going to happen. But what's going to happen is, you know, that they're talking behind your back. Like, you know that I literally got a message this week from the dumbest play I ever made in my entire life. It's hilarious to me now. And I was laughing about it. I almost cried. I laughed so hard because I got the ball in the second half of a game in college, and I directly passed the ball to the other team who was wearing a black jersey, and we were wearing white. It wasn't even close. I don't know what was going through my head at the moment. I knew the kid, I guess, on the other team, but legitimately caught the ball at the top of the key, turned to swing it, and passed it directly to the other team. I got back on defense and got scored on after I turned it over. I thought for sure I deserved to be taken out of the game. I deserved to never play ever again. Like, these are the thoughts that were going through my head. Nobody walked up to me and they're like, "You suck, you know, what the hell? Like, what's wrong with you?" Nobody gave me direct hate. But what happened was, is when everybody watched the film, there was a ton of snickering at the time, and people would video it, and they were sending it amongst the team. Now, did I deserve it? Sure. And I don't really care. That's not why I'm talking about it. What I'm saying is, it's not, people, I feel like, get worried because they're not going to get the hate directly. It's almost easier if you get it directly, because then you can either deal with it, you can stand up for yourself, you know, you can choose how you want to act in that moment. And I think that's kind of what happens online with, like, online gaming. Someone will flame you, you'll flame them back. It's kind of just over. It's like, it's just how it works, even though it's maybe not the healthiest thing in the world. But I think what happens is we just shy away and we get afraid because you can like feel that. Like, we're humans. We have really good intuition when people are hating on us behind our back. Like, it's something that we can feel. So one of the ways that I've learned how to develop hate is I've learned how to see it as a good thing. Like, I understand right now that I'm not where I want to be, like, in basketball, let's say. But, like, I understand that with the work ethic I have, I know where I'm going to be in a certain amount of time. Like, I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know how many reps. Like, there is no certain answer. Like, I don't know how long it's going to take me to play the guitar, to be able to play and not make mistakes on live. Like, it's just, I don't know. But what I do know is that if I just keep working and I'm not afraid to do these things, and then I do them on live every once in a while, it's going to push me to be a little bit better of myself because it's going to help me get out of my comfort zone, and then it's going to help me help somebody else. And that's why I think it's so important for you to be around somebody that pushes you a little bit, that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, that has more success than you at this moment, maybe more followers, maybe a little bit of a life that you want. And then I really want you to spend time around somebody too that's younger than you or not quite as successful as you, you know, that looks up to you, that looks at you, something you do and goes, wow. Because, and I said this before, but I have to redo it anyways, because then you'll be like, man, I'm just a human being and all I did was work. Like, I was the same. I used to handle hate the same way. Like, I used to be shy and I used to feel like I don't want to talk in the group, and I didn't realize it was just because I'd basically just given up. Like, I knew that I was getting made fun of behind my back. But I also knew that I was a nice kid, so they weren't going to say it to my face. So I think the way to handle hate is to just work on yourself. Like, maybe go away for 2 weeks and maybe work on your delivery. Like, maybe work on your joke delivery. Like, there's YouTube videos of people that will teach you how to deliver a better story. Like, there is unlimited things that we can learn, and that's why I say that there's no excuse. There's no excuse to be shy, because here's the other thing too. Like, there's people that'll say, "Oh, I'm shy and I don't have a whole lot of friends." I call BS. If I talk to you, if you said you were shy, and I talk to you about Yu-Gi-Oh, and I happen to know a lot about it because I played it a ton as a kid, I can tell you about cards that some people don't even know about because it's been, I sound like Donald Trump. Let me tell you about cards that you've probably never even heard. They're the best cards. But, like, I can tell you about things that are so specific, and we could have a conversation for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and you could do over half the talking. Are you still shy? No, it's just there's things in this world that maybe you don't know as much about. When people start talking about current events, current news, current trends, current problems, I have nothing to say. In high school, when people would talk about parties or the people they were sleeping with or whatever, or like making fun of each other, I didn't like making fun of people. I wasn't good at it. I was not good at making fun of people. I came from a relatively loving family that was kind of just quiet with each other. We talk about our days, but I was not good at picking and giving somebody crap and receiving it for sure. So when I would get that, I'd be like, I'd get mad and I'd say bad words and I'd freak out, and then people would see me as a complete target because they saw how I reacted to it. Like, the hate, oh man, I got on a little trend there and I almost lost my train of thought, but it's like, the hate is not coming directly, like it, but there's so many things that you can work on to make yourself better and then come back in that situation. If you're bad with talking to girls that you like there's literally coaches on YouTube that'll teach you how to do that stuff, that'll teach you how to have better charisma. I'm not talking about pickup game and infield and all that stuff. I don't really believe in that stuff because it's like, I'm not trying to game somebody into liking me. I'm going to be who I am and then let them decide. But don't change yourself to fit in or to fit into the culture. Like, understand that there's just going to be hate regardless. Like, and the other thing is too, when you're fake, other people can feel that too. And I feel like that's what made me get made fun of the most. Like, because I was not able to just live in my truth and understand, like, this is who I am and love it and be like, so what? That's, I feel like that's what changed. Like, I feel like that's when I started having genuine friendships, is when I met one of my first best friends in the world down in Klamath Falls. And shout out Brian, if you're watching, because I'm not paying attention to the lives right now, because I don't want to look at the comments. But like, he was the first person where I'd make a joke that was about SpongeBob or about Pokemon or about something like that. And he'd laugh and he appreciated it. And I liked movie quoting and he did too. And I was like, wait a minute, like, I'm just being who I am. And he genuinely appreciates that. And then we started hanging out and he happened to be one of the popular kids on the team. He was so good at delivering jokes. He was so good at having charisma with everybody. And so I was just like, this is so cool because I'm going to be accepted down here because this guy likes me and he's popular. Like, it's just the truth. I was not a popular kid. And the coolest thing that he did, and it's something I'll forever appreciate him for, is if I said one of my horrible jokes and it was horribly timed, he got a kick out of it and then would just play along with it. I don't know if he ever did that on purpose. I might have to ask him at some point if he was trying to help me be cooler by making me not look like a fool. Because, you know, if something wouldn't land, he'd like just tag on and make himself like the butt of the joke. And I just forever appreciated him for that because it gave me my first sense of social acceptance. And so I understand where people are coming from right now that, you know, maybe don't necessarily want to post as much, or they're afraid to, you know, sing, or they're afraid. I know people that are in their 50s that are afraid to sing in front of their friends because of what? It's not because someone ever looked at them and said, you're horrible, why would you ever sing? Well, I hope not. But, I mean, maybe your, like, sister or maybe a friend might have told you that out of jest. But, like, it's because they have, at some point, didn't believe in themselves and they're like, I don't want to do this and I don't want to handle the self-embarrassment from not being perfect. We're not perfect. Like, none of us are freaking perfect. Like, we see perfection at times or close to it from people that have put in thousands and thousands of hours on something. Like I said before, I've worked for 3 weeks on the guitar. Like, seriously, where I've been playing for like an hour a day, like 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the afternoon. I need 30 minutes here somewhere else, but like some 30 minutes to a half an hour every single day. And I'll do live, but it's easier for me to do it live on TikTok in front of people that I don't know instead of people in front of I do know. So I understand what you're saying, but understand that if you really want to be good at something, don't ever say like, oh, I wish I was good at the guitar, but I'm just not. Like, or I wish I was good at singing, but I'm just not. Or I wish... There is no I wish. There is someone out there that can help you with every single part of your life. Every part. And even if it's just motivation, like, that's kind of what I feel like I'm pretty good at, is like, I hope that people are watching a podcast and they're just like, you know what? And they put it down, they put the podcast down, and they just go do something. And they go try. And they go try to better themselves. And maybe you come back and I'm still talking because I like to talk. But in the meantime, they've tried to do something that put themselves out of their comfort zone and that's just going to make you a better person. Like, you're not going to become a better person you're not going to become better and you're not going to become more fulfilled or proud of yourself at the end of the day if you're not putting yourself out there. And that's just the flat out truth. Like, I'm 29 years old. I should not technically, from some other people's standards, be doing a podcast or be writing my first book. But I don't care. I can't care because I've also had... I'll think that, and I'll think about the people that would tell me, oh, you're not good enough, or you haven't lived long enough, or you haven't had enough experiences, even though I've played overseas and I've learned multiple languages. I have these things that I could back that up, but at the same time, it's like, well, there's a lot of people that could use it. And then what about the people that I could help? What if I can, what if it's not about helping 50,000 people? What if it's helping 1,000 people? What if it's helping 100? And then they just have a little bit better of a life because of that, because they weren't watching the big channels, or they weren't watching Will Smith, or they weren't watching Tom Bilyeu or Wim Hof or some of the people that have changed my life personally. What if they weren't? And what if my voice gets out there? What if your voice and you putting yourself out there and you singing, or you trying to be an artist, or you trying to do something that's outside the box, or you trying to better yourself and, you know, have a six pack in your 30s or in your 20s, or, you know, just change. What if that one, what if you don't say end up saving one person? And what if down the road when you have kids, then you don't have to be like, hey, do as I say, not as I do. Then you can be like, hey, look, I understand it's tough. I know you're going through something right now, but you can, because I did. You can only help people with what you've done. So I really think, number one, you're letting other people down by not trying stuff yourself. And yeah, I'm not going to go any further on that. But like, you might be letting other people down if you're not doing something yourself. But also, like, you're just going to be proud of yourself at the end of the day. We're not guaranteed anything. We are literally not guaranteed anything. Will the majority of us live longer lives? Yes, probably. We have a pretty awesome system. A lot of us are living in the United States. Some of you that are listening on TikTok are living in Europe. But we have a pretty amazing culture. If you're on your phone right now, you know, we have a pretty good life. But, like, we're not guaranteed anything. So, yeah, you might be, like, saving up, or, you know, you might just be hanging out tomorrow. But, like, what if you do something tomorrow that makes yourself proud, and then you do something for somebody else, and then you, yeah, I think being in a giving mindset is really, really cool. But if you do like push-ups and you get to the end and you're like, okay, I just did 25 push-ups and I literally can't do another one, and then you do 8 more because you actually can, how are you going to feel about yourself when you go to bed? How are you going to sleep? Like, I really think a lot of like problems in the society with like anxiety and all this stuff, and I used to have panic attacks as a kid. So again, I empathize with all of this. But I think that comes from just not doing enough during the day, like, and not being able to live in the moment. Like, you're living either 6 days in the future when you have your next game and like your performance anxiety, or you're living 3 days in the past when you screwed up, or you're living 6 hours in the past when you made a mistake with someone you were talking to, or your relationship, or in a game. Like, we're living in the past from the future, and we're not living in the moment. And so there, but I think that changes when you learn how to just push through like these extra reps, and push through and put yourself out there, and push through and like just not be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's literally nothing to be afraid of. Like, I still felt it. I felt it when I tried to put the guitar on the Facebook. So I was like, man, I know these people. This is a little different. I'm not that great at it. I'm going to do it anyways. I felt the heartbeat a little bit. I was like, that's fine. I'm going to learn something from this. As soon as you get to a point where you feel slightly uncomfortable, you're about to learn something, and I really hope that you have something to write. Because if you have something to write on, you're about to learn something, and then you could help somebody else in the future, and you're going to help yourself. You're going to help yourself in the future too, because when I go back and look at my notes, there's so many times where I look at it, I'm like, man, that was a big day. Like, I remember that day. That's where the podcast came from, because I went and looked through my old notes and I was like, God, I've changed so much. Like, I used to be so scared. I used to have so much performance anxiety. Like, I would work so hard and then I wouldn't perform well. Why? And literally people would tell me like, hey, you look great in warm-ups, you look great in drills, but when the lights come on, you kind of just disappear. It was the truth. It was the truth. And I needed to hear that. Like, I needed to hear that. And I just want you to have that same feeling of carry something with you. And when you start to feel something that's comfortable, and you hear that little voice that tells you, hey, do 5 more push-ups because you actually can, even though you feel like you can't, do that. Listen to that tiny voice. That tiny voice is directing you in a good position, in a good direction. Because you can hear it. You can hear it all the time. It's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't eat that. Or you probably should do one more. Or you probably should, you know, go for a walk, even though you don't necessarily want to. You should go to the gym. You should, like, it's a lot of things that it's telling you to do, and you're like, oh, well, I don't necessarily have to. Just do it. Like, it's going to change the way that you look at yourself, and then bring something to write on, or, you know, have your notes handy, or voice memos, and just remember how you felt at that time, and thank yourself. Thank yourself at the end of the day. Be your biggest ally. At the end of the night, when you go to bed and you put your head on the pillow, just thank yourself. Be like, God, I'm proud of myself for what I did today. And if you're not proud of yourself, be like, I promise, don't promise to be better. I would challenge you to do 2 things. I would challenge you either, number one, get out of bed and do some push-ups and do some sit-ups or do something. Maybe do a meditation, maybe do a little bit of writing, a little bit of journaling. Like, I would challenge you to do something with that 30 minutes of time. And it's something I talked about with a kid a few years ago. He lives in Albany, and he was just a really good kid. And he's like, you know, I have so many problems with sleep, and I have so much anxiety at night. And there's times where I'm up until 1:30 in the morning, and I have to work at 6. And I was like, okay, well, let's say you wake up at 12, and you're going to be awake from 12 to 1:30, and you know you're not going to go to sleep. Why don't you just see that as a blessing and do something with that hour and a half that you've never done before? What if that's a really cool, what if that turns into a great time for you, and you go and you start reading at that time? If you wake up, you just start reading. You're like, okay, I want to read some self-help books, and you just enjoy it. Why? Instead of, because I feel like the anxiety comes from the power of the words that we use, and I've talked about that before, but also comes just from the perspective of it. You're going to feel good if you sleep. You've slept 5 hours and felt fine before. You've also slept 13 hours and felt like crap. So instead of, and it usually comes from the, oh great, I have to wake up at this. You're already setting yourself up for failure. So I was like, how about you just do this? Number one, you have the same routine every single night, and it's not a great one. So I would change your routine, book in your days, like have a nice cold shower, do the nice little meditation, you know, do something different at the end of your night. And then if you ever wake up in the middle of the night and you really have, and you get your start to get yourself going, just do something different. Enjoy that time. I was like, what could change if you're already going to, you know, get worked up and like, I'm not saying get up and go for a jog and or something like that, you know, maybe, because I do want you to be able to go back to sleep, but like, what if you just got up and read? And he literally texted me, I think it was like a week later, and he's like, man, what a difference. He's like, I was having trouble winding down the other night, and he's like, I just started to read, and I just enjoyed it. Instead of making it more than it actually was, I just sat there and enjoyed it, and I learned, and I took notes, and I got tired, and he's like, I just turned over, and I went to sleep. And it's like, we make things more so much more powerful than they need to be. Like, and that's a whole nother, you know, I've talked about that plenty of times, but that's just in our word choice. You know, it's really in our word choice. And I really hope that we can stop using like, oh, I'm so stupid, or I feel so anxious, or I feel I'm overwhelmed. Like, those are powerful words. If you took those out and you're just like, man, what a full day. Or there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. That sounds a whole lot different than, God, that's all so overwhelming, or the whole situation is so much. Be careful with this stuff, and be careful adding to the power of that kind of stuff. Okay, I want to move on to one other subject, and it's how to be better at selling yourself. And it's something I've been helping a lot of kids with on Instagram, of basketball players that are like, you know, I want to play at the professional level. I want to play at the D1 level. You know, where do you think I should go? Because I had a post last week about, you know, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter if you go to junior college, D3, D2, D1. I went to junior college, and now I get paid to play basketball. Like, it doesn't matter if you're on the max preps list or if you're on anything like that. It really doesn't matter. What matters is what you do every single day. And that's going to allow you to sell yourself. That's going to allow yourself to come at these conversations different. Because what he said directly was, I want to go to this Division I school. I'm not going to name the school. He goes, I don't know if I should just go there and walk on because I don't think I'm good enough to make it. I said, cool. Here's the thing. Number one, when you would talk to them and you sent, have you sent them DMs on Instagram and Facebook and been like, hey, this is who I am. You know, I have a crazy motor. He's 6'7" and he has a motor and he's really good at rebounding. He's not a great ball handler yet. He has a really nice jump shot. It looks good. But it's like, what do you do well and how can you play up on those strengths? And number two, how can you better yourself right now? So when you're talking to them, you say, look, I understand I'm going to come in and I'm not going to be a guy that's going to impact right away. I'm not going to be a guy that's going to come in and be a sixth man right away. I'm not going to probably even be better than the eighth man on the bench. But what I'm going to tell you is the work that I'm putting in right now, every single day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, is going to prepare me in these next 3 months. And I know I'm going to hit the ground running. And I know I'm going to have a great chance of making an impact in your practices. I'm going to have a great chance of making an impact with your players. I'm just going to be the same person. And then I'm going to be able to change and adapt because I'm going to take that work ethic to that college or to that business. You can take this into business too. You might feel like you're not quite good enough, but you can take that work ethic. And then I'm going to learn every single day because I'm going to have so many quick learning experiences. You don't go into a place where you're not good are not good enough to hang and not learn instantly. So you're going to learn instantly. So you tell them, like, I'm going to learn quickly, and then I'm going to take that, and I'm going to go spend another 2 hours by myself getting better. and I'm going to eventually make an impact at this school. I promise you. If I have 6 months, I'm going to be able to make an impact at the end of 6 months. If you give me 3 years, I promise you I'm going to be able to make an impact. He already has an academic scholarship, so he wouldn't have to pay that much to go. So he can literally tell them, this is who I am. And I was like, how are you selling yourself right there? That's somebody that's going to have a chance. That's somebody that's going to have an opportunity in a business. That's somebody that's going to have an opportunity at a college, because they're able to sell themselves because they believe in their own product. They believe in their work ethic. I don't necessarily believe that I can play in the NBA right now, but I believe that if I went to the G League or if I went to these higher levels, I know that I could work my way up and learn quick enough, because my biggest learning experiences came when I played against Gary Payton, when I played against one of the best players on my team this last year, and I hung in there, because it changes your belief, it changes the way you think about things, and you're like, okay, you know what, I can do this, I need to work on this, this, and this, and I'm going to take my work ethic back, I'm going to package it up, and then go work. And so the way you sell yourself better is work your freaking butt off so you actually believe in it. Like, that's just it. That is 100% it. Like, whether you're in business, whether you're at your job, whether you're trying to get a new job, if you can walk into a job, a potential employer, and tell them, look, I may not be the perfect hire right off the bat. I know it may not look it. You know, this guy has a better resume than me. This guy has a better resume than me, but there's no one that's not going to outwork me. And it's not just like kissing ass and like doing that kind of stuff. It's, I'm going to work so hard. This is the things that I do on a daily basis. You have a package. You have a brand. And people say, like, it's hard to sell people that, it's hardest to sell to people that know you the best. That's what people say. That's because you can't rebrand yourself. When you're meeting someone for the first time, you have a chance to have your brand be in their mind, like, fresh. Like, this is who I am. This is who I become. You might go back and your mom might treat you the exact same. But these new employers, like, this is who you can do. This is how you can completely recreate yourself. Even if you're in a job right now where you don't have any respect, people look at you and you're nothing to them. You're maybe nothing to the boss. The boss doesn't even know your name. Like, the coach maybe barely think of you as like an afterthought. That doesn't matter. It matters how you brand yourself every single day, and that's only going to come from the work. And that's my challenge of the week. My challenge of the week is, it doesn't matter where you are right now. It matters. The opportunity lies with you every single day in the 2 to 3 hours that you could be working on yourself. Whether it's with your relationship skills, whether it's with your joke delivery, whether it's with your basketball skills, your business skills, your arts, you know, learning how to, there's everything on YouTube that you can learn right now. Everything. Even if it's just trying to have better ideas, there's people on YouTube that'll tell you, if you can put yourself away from it, away from all the noise, and go sit by yourself for 30 minutes and just think with a notepad, there's something for everybody. And we have zero excuse. That's why I started this podcast, because at some point, I had no excuse as well. I like that. That's a good...